as Ruth, as you said that, how God abundantly supplies our needs. And so often we look at that as we want lots of money in the bank, and we want lots of things to be prepared way ahead of us so that we can relax comfortably, but he doesn't always work that way. I know we spoke with Anthony and Amber the other night, and she mentioned that going through some of these times with her mom, she didn't know how she was going to make it through the next day, but she always did. And God's grace and his abundant supply for us is always there the next day. We don't have to worry about the next day. It's here for now. That's where God is. He's here with us now. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. He's going to take care of us tomorrow as well. And so many times we lose sight of that. We want to see a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the future, a month, years, and know that we're going to be taken care of. And that's not what God's promise is. His promise, he's going to take care of us today. So I'm thankful for that. This morning, the title of my sermon is "Who Do You Look Like?" And I have a few things, and one of the things that got me along this path this week was I heard someone on the radio was talking. It was a devotional, something about, you know, when people live together for so long, they begin to look like each other, and how does that work? And so I've come up with maybe not how people look like each other, but maybe how, turn it on, see? How people and their pets begin to look alike after a while. So the longer you spend time with somebody, the more you begin to look alike. I don't know whether to be jealous of that hair or not, but I seen one of these actually. I didn't get it, but it actually the dog and the guy both actually have different colored eyes, and they're the same one. You know how some people have the same thing. That might be my favorite one. And I don't think that's his dog either, but most of us know who Peyton Manning is, and that's a typical expression. And yeah. All right. Thank you, Jeremy, for that. So as I was preparing to study, and as I was studying, going over things, I went to Exodus first, Exodus 34, 29 to 35, and Moses has just spent 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord, with neither food nor water. Now, we all know that you can go 40 days without food and live, but to go 40 days without water is pretty much impossible, humanly. But Moses has just spent, we know that he had went up to get the Ten Commandments, had come down and he had smashed them, and then he had returned again and spent another 40 days and 40 nights up there with God. And during that time, God had revealed himself, or the backside of himself, to Moses. And so Moses is returning from spending 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God. And so verse 29 starts, "Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. The glory of God had somehow radiated through Moses' face. And we've all seen people with sunburns, how their face kind of glows, and I don't know, it had to be more than that, because I'm sure they were used to sunburn being walking through the desert, through the wilderness. So his face had to shine. It says, so when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Moses' face reflected the glory of God. It shone. What does that look like for us? How do we spend that time? And I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians. And it talks about the same story we just read. But now this talks about what we can do and what we have. And it talks about the law. And I'm going to start at verse 4. I wasn't going to read this much, but I think I'm going to, just to give a little bit of a backstory of what we have here. Verse 4 says, chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 4 says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now we all know that the Old Testament, the Old Law, was the letter of the law, and that killed. But now we have something new. Because of Christ dying on the cross for our sins, we have something new. We have the Spirit. So it says, the Spirit, it says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 7 says, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. So this letter of death was so glorious that it made Moses' face shine, that the children of Israel had to look away with it. So if that was so glorious, then verse 8 says, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So what Moses had was glorious. How much more so do we have the Spirit of life? Calls it the Spirit of righteousness. How much more do we have than what Moses had? Verse 9 says, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So this letter of the law had glory, but so much more what we have exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When we turn to the Lord, that veil is taken away, and we can see clearly. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord as are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all had that same opportunity to stand before God, before the Spirit of the Lord, with an unveiled face, just like Moses would take that veil off when he would go in to talk to the Lord. He would take that veil off. We all had that opportunity to stand before the Lord with unveiled face. It says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. We had that same opportunity to be transformed, our lives be transformed by the glory of God. Then I'm going on into chapter 4. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, condemning ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. We've all seen people, we've all met people that way, who you can talk to them until they're blue in the face and you're not getting anywhere. Their minds, it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Their minds have been blinded. It's like the gospel, it says, is veiled. But the second part of that verse, and I'm going to read the whole thing, it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So who is that light? What is that light? It says, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Last week, Kevin shared, and in one of the verses he shared, Matthew 5:14-16, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are that light. We are to be like Moses, and to let God's glory, God's light shine. It says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility to let that light shine, to let God's light shine. It says, who has shone in our hearts. So God has shown His light into our hearts if we're open to Him. If we'll spend time with Him, He'll shine His light into our hearts. And then we, in turn, can shine His light into the world. You know, if you think about the moon has no light of its own. It gets its light from the sun. Same way with us. We have no light of our own. We get our light from the sun. If we want to be that light, we've got to stay in contact with God. And to do that, we're going to turn to John 15. John 15:1 says, I am the true vine, And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So if we're not bearing fruit, he's going to take us away. He's going to prune us back. But then verse 4 comes in, and that's where we get our light from. It says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If we go out there and we cut a branch off of that tree, one of these trees out here, and put it down on the ground, it's going to die. It's not going to produce any fruit. It's not even going to produce leaves. It's not going to produce anything. It's going to get hard and brittle and break apart. It's good for nothing. We have to stay connected. We have to stay like Moses did in the presence of God. We have to stay connected to him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So we've got to stay connected. We have to abide in him if we want to produce fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out of the branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. I've got sticks in my fire pit that have broken off of trees, that have fallen out of the trees, whatever it is, I've cut off of trees, and right now they're lame in the fire pit just waiting to be burned. They're not worth anything. They're not producing any fruit. They're not producing any leaves. No shade. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Bringing glory to God is what we're here for. Bearing fruit brings him glory. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Wednesday night, Joel mentioned in our prayer meeting that the world, America, is going through lots of racial tension, racial struggles. And he mentioned this as it's a time where we as Christians can let that light shine. And that's how we're going to do it. We're going to love one another. By doing that, it brings a different light to what people are used to. Then we go to verse 13. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And as I thought about that verse, I thought about this is Memorial Day weekend, where we think about those soldiers who died so that we can have freedom. How much greater do we think about Christ? You know, those soldiers that have died have given freedom to the United States, but Christ's death gave freedom to the entire world. How much greater was his dying than my dying or your dying? So as I thought of that Memorial Day, let's keep it in our minds that, you know what? We're going to celebrate Memorial Day, but we're going to celebrate that Christ died for our sins. Let's not forget that. He died for the sins of the whole world. He laid down his life for us. It says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And then verse 17 says, in these things I command you, that you love one another. Jump back two chapters to chapter 13 of John, verse 34 and 35. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this you will know, by this all will know, that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is the key. So many times, He commands us to love. And it's not easy. But He commands us to love. It's the one thing that's going to separate us from the rest of the world. I seen a thing on Facebook, and it was a sign that somebody had put in their yard or something, and it said, I love you. And it said, if I can hate you without knowing who you are, then I can certainly love you without knowing who you are. So, whether we know someone or not, we can show love to them. You know, the world says because someone is white and someone is black, they hate each other. That's not true. If you can hate because someone is a different color, you can certainly love because someone is a different color as well. Colossians 3. And I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And as I thought about that, we're putting on the new man. We're becoming more Christ-like. We want to look more like Christ. We want to act more like Christ. The more time we spend with Him, the more we're going to look like Him. The more we're going to act like Him, respond like Him. You know, when people become athletes, or when they become cops, warriors, whatever, they train and they train and they train. And they train to respond not in a way where they have to think about what they're going to do. You know, when a cop goes through a door, he doesn't want to have to think, now, what do I need to do? Do I need to pull my gun out? Or what do I need to do? When a football player, as he's running towards somebody, he doesn't want to have to think, how am I going to tackle this guy? Do I need to go high or do I need to go low? Or do I need to just try to grab him with my arms, or grab him by his leg, or what do I need to do? No, they train over and over and over again to where when it becomes first nature, the first thing they're going to do is they have a, before they even get to that situation, they know what they're going to do. That's what we have to do. We have to spend time. We have to train ourselves so that we know how we're going to respond. We're going to become new men. Become in the image, become like Christ. Verse 11, where it says there's neither Greek nor Jew, you could say there is neither white nor black nor Asian nor Hispanic nor whatever you want to put in there. But Christ is all and in all. Then verse 12. This was in one of the daily verses that popped up this week as I was going through my day. It came up on my thing. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And that goes back to what Joel said. We've got to do these things. We've got to have mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering with people we see in town, with people that we meet, whether they're customers, whether there's, like I said, people that you see in town and maybe the lady at the cash register, whatever it is. You've got to have kindness, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, so you also must do. These are all good things. We must do all these things. But then verse 14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. One of the other translations says with something about which brings us together in unity. We sing about this song, bind us together. Love is what binds us together. Makes us stand apart from the rest of the world. Showing love. Then 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. And as I read this last verse, 17, I had to think of, what does that mean? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. As Christians, we all should have, we should all stand out. And so when we do things, we stand out. People see us do things, and they're going to see whether we do what is right or whether we do what is wrong. If Jerry or Wesley were to install cabinets, they're going to do it to the best of their abilities because they want to make quality cabinets, and they want to make Hirschberger cabinets look good. They want to do the best job. They probably would not send me out there to install their cabinets because it probably wouldn't look very good. And if you're carrying, if you have somebody's company's name on you, that's going to stand out for what that company does. A couple of months ago, it went back to a year ago, I had hired a young guy from Abbeville, and I gave him some T-shirts and a sweatshirt. And he gave me back, when he quit, he gave me back all the stuff but the sweatshirt. And he kept the sweatshirt, and he actually gave it to a friend. And this guy was at an Abbeville football game and was wearing it and was swearing. And Clayton was there, and he turned around and looked at him, and he said, I don't think the guy that owns that company would appreciate you swearing like that. That guy, by swearing, made my company, to whoever looked at it, made him look bad. In the same way, when we as Christians don't do what we should do, we can make Christ look bad. How many times do you hear people say, well, I'm not going to church because there's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites there? Well, that's nothing but a cop-out, but it's true. How many times do we not do something or do something that we shouldn't do? But we should all remember that whatever we're doing that as Christians, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We want to bring God glory. We don't want to tear down the work that maybe someone else has done. Someone else has planted some seed, and we come in there and we dig it up by our actions. This is all the scripture I have. I have a song yet that I wanted to share. And this song, I never heard it before this week. It's an old song, but I heard it this week as I was working, and yesterday I was studying and I had some music playing and it came on again. So it's kind of a confirmation that I was kind of going on the right path that God wanted me to share. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to have Jeremy play the song, and as the song ends, you may be dismissed. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now and want to thank you for your word that we have. Father, I pray that we would be plugged in, that we would abide in you as you would have us to. Father, I pray that you would help us to let your light shine. Father, we know that we are going to be an example to someone, whether it's a good example or whether it's a bad example. We are going to be an example. Father, I pray that we would be the example that would bring glory and honor to you. Father, I pray that you would just help us to draw strength from you. Father, I pray that we would draw our light from you, and that we would begin to grow, to become more and more like you, to look like you, to walk like you, to act like you, to respond in ways that you would respond. Father, I pray that you would just be with us as we go from here today. I pray for a good week for all. Father, I pray that we would not forget the sacrifice that you made on Calvary when you gave your life for our sins. You made that ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Father, I thank you for that gift that you gave us. I pray you be with us this week. Go with us and keep us. In your name I pray. Amen.
It's by love, it's by love, not by organization or your denomination. It's by love, it's by now it's time to lend a hand. It's by love, it's by love.
And when you see somebody stumble, remember that we all have sinned. It's by love, by love.
Hanging on the cross of Calvary, Jesus prayed, forgive them. It's by love, it's by love.
It's mine.
It's by